The House, please come to order. The House, please come back to order. And I know we were, but we weren't. But now we are. We have been waiting, as probably everybody knows, for duplication of committee substitutes, but they're almost here, so why don't we go ahead and begin and be ready to pounce the minute we get to that point. So, would members please indicate their presence by voting? Any member fail to vote? Madam Clerk?
30 members present.
We have a quorum. Madam Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, may the record reflect that Representative Ogun has been previously excused from the call of the House today.
The record will so reflect. Leading the invocation again today with us is Reverend Ron Colby of the Douglas Community United Methodist Church. Would members please rise for the invocation?
Mr. Speaker, honorable representatives, members of the staff, distinguished guests and visitors, with deep respect for the diversity of faith traditions in our great state, let us take this moment for prayer and reflection. Eternal God, in the beginning your spirit moved upon the waters of creation, and the land was born. The waters sank down to their place, and in that time immemorial, you set the tides in motion, that slow pulsing heartbeat of the mighty sea. Grant us now the gift of discernment, that we may see clearly the tides that move in our human affairs, the opportunities which come to lift and move forward the ship of state. Keep us from getting stuck in the mudflats of delay and indecision. Help us instead to sail with boldness and faith into the future, even though the coastlines are not fully seen, for we place our trust in you and in our fellow travelers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend. Representative Dyson, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 108th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal as certified by the Assistant Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the journal has been certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over in the Peratrovich Gallery, Paul Shadura, one of my constituents from the Kenai area. He's a commercial fisherman, and he's also vice president of KPFA. Would you please help me welcome him to Juneau?
Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in the Peratrovich Gallery, I have two of my staff, don't believe introduced this year, Gail Keller, who runs everything and everybody in our office, and Jason Hooley, who is the committee aide for Hess, and they've done a fine job. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I'd like to introduce some dear friends of mine. Dan Sattler, Mary Jackson, Naomi Harris, they all work in this building, and I'd like to sing a happy birthday song for you, Mr. Speaker, if you'll allow it.
Will you still feed? need me when I'm 64.
Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I wasn't done yet. I wonder if I could read your horoscope for today.
Sure.
Going down the special article. And your biography that you wrote. Please. You know, I just got from the gallery behind me things that happened in history on this day. By the way, on behalf of the body, the Sergeant-at-Arms, Sean Riley, he's got a book that everybody here signed. Man of the House by Tip O'Neill, so that you'll remember all of us on this special day of yours today. Other things that happened on this day, I see Catherine the Great was born on May 2nd in 1729 on this day. Leonardo da Vinci died on this day in 1519. And on May 2nd, 1938, on this very same day that you were born, a Frenchman insulted a Spaniard. So Germany declared war in England. Anyway, your biography, or your horoscope, rather, it says you were born today. You are extremely aware of the image that you create in the world. You present a look that is confident, polished, and self-possessed. Others admire you. You work hard primarily because you need the respect of your peers. You are dependable and reliable. The year ahead offers new beginnings in many directions. That's what it says. So, your biography, you were born on this day, May 2nd, 1938, in Seattle, Washington. Your wife is Betty. You met her at a police lineup. Your children, Kelly, Carrie, Corey, and six grandchildren. Occupation consultant, security and public safety, civil investigation. You've been in Alaska for 52 years. You know, that's almost twice as long as some of the members here have since they were born. Education, Anchorage High School, 1956, University of Alaska. Degree in police administration, Northwestern University Police Institute, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation Academy. 1981 certificate from there, real commendable. Military service with the military police, 5 years, sergeant. Look, you're in your fifth term here in the House of Representatives, and prior to this, you were the House Majority Leader, and you're on the Anchorage Municipal Assembly. It says here you were a police officer and the chief of police of Anchorage from 1960 to 1987. And you state here that as a police recruit in 1960, you were asked during the exam, what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? And you said, I'd call for backup. Special interests? You love golf. And we all know that, too, anyway. Incidentally, golf is flog, spelled backwards. Yeah. You say here that one day you broke 70. That's a lot of clubs. And it says here that you've given up trying to shoot your age. Now you're just trying to shoot your blood pressure. In your statement, you say the minority leader says that you don't have any vision. Well, you don't see that, do you? And you say that I want to thank each and every one of you here in the House of Representatives, without exception, for having extinguished yourselves this session. So. Please rise and help me.
Thank you very much. You do realize you're all out of order. We'll make an exception this time. Thank you very much. I must admit, when the trio came in, I had some degree of trepidation having listened to them just a few weeks ago at the skits. Gee, where the heck were we? I think it was introduction of guests that we were still trying to work through. Are there any other guests for introduction? Representative Hudson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe that I've had the opportunity to embarrass one of my staffers yet this session. Melanie Lesh should be behind me. Yes, she is. She's my backup on legislation. Most of you already know Melanie. She's been one of the prime staff and supporters of helping us develop through the Fiscal Policy Caucus all of the different elements and bring it all together. It's been a massive job, and she's done a great job for me and I think for the whole body here. I'd like to have her stand, and if you please let me welcome her here today.
Seeing no other, yes, Representative Murkowski.
Well, I'm not going to be stood up by the gentleman in front of me. I, too, have a staff that I have not introduced yet this year. Robin Phillips in the Taylor Gallery behind me has become our resident alcohol expert. If you have any questions about any facts or statistics as they relate to alcohol, she is the expert. If you have questions about consumption, I would suggest you look elsewhere. Robin Taylor. Robin Taylor.
Seeing no other guests, do we have messages from the governor?
We received a letter dated May 1st stating the governor has signed the following bill and is transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Bill number 269, Chapter number 13, SLA 2002. And we received a letter dated April 30 stating that in accordance with the AS 39050-05080, the governor submits the following name for legislative confirmation to the Board of Education and Early Development, Mr. Roger Kahn of Anchorage.
It will be referred to the HES Committee.
Those are all the messages from the governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other body?
We received a message dated May 1st stating that Senate has passed and returned House Concurrent Resolution number 27 amended. House Joint Resolution Number 45, House Joint Resolution Number 48, House Bill Number 349, and Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 418, Labor and Commerce. And we received a message dated May 1st stating the Senate has passed CS for House Joint Resolution Number 46 Resources with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Joint Resolution Number 46 Rules, and it is returned for consideration. A message dated May 1st stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill Number 106 LNC amended with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Bill Number 106 Finance, and it is transmitted for consideration. A message dated May 1st stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill Number 157 Judiciary amended with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Bill Number 157 Judiciary, and it is transmitted for consideration. A message dated May 1st stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill Number 298 Labor and Commerce with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Bill Number 298 Finance, and it is returned for consideration. A message dated May 1st stating the Senate has passed CS for House Bill Number 470 LNC title amended with the following amendment: Senate CS for House Bill Number 470 Rules, and it is transmitted for consideration. Those are all the messages from the other body today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications today.
Reports of standing committees?
The Resources Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following appointees to the Board of Fisheries: Brett Huber, Jerry Merrigan, and Art Nelson. For Brett Huber, recommending confirm Curtula, Stevens, McGuire, Green, and Massig. Do not confirm Chenault and Scalzi. The report was signed by Massig and Scalzi co-chairs. For Merrigan, recommending confirm Curtula, Chenault, Stevens, McGuire, Green, and Scalzi. No recommendation, Massig. The report was signed by Scalzi and Massig co-chairs. And for Nelson, recommending confirm Curtula, Chenault, Stevens, McGuire, Green, and Scalzi. Recommending, no recommendation, Massig. And the report was signed by Scalzi and Massig co-chairs. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill Number 20, recommends it be replaced with CSHB 20 Rules with a new title. Recommending do pass Jewell, McGuire, Porter. Do not pass Coring. No recommendation Morgan, Cott, and Berkowitz. Report was signed by Cott Chair. HB 20 is on today's calendar. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill Number 225, Alcoholic Beverage Tax, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 225, Finance. with a new title attached to fiscal note, which is forthcoming. Recommending do pass Bundy, Croft, Hudson, Lancaster. Do not pass Harris, Foster, Williams. No recommendation Mulder. Amend Whitaker. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams co-chairs. HB 225 has no further referral. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill Number 303, Statewide Sales Tax, recommends it be replaced with Second Committee Substitute for House Bill 303, Rules, with a new title. Recommending do pass Jewell, Porter. Do not pass Coring. No recommendation Morgan, McGuire, Cott, Berkowitz. The report was signed by Cott Chair. HB 303 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill number 304, Permanent Fund Income, and recommends it be replaced with Second Committee substitute for House Bill 304 Rules with the same title. There's a forthcoming letter of intent recommending do pass Porter, do not pass Coring, no recommendation Jewell, Morgan, McGuire, Cott, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Cott Chair. HB 304 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill number 464, School District Correspondence Study, recommends it be replaced with CSHB 464 Rules with a new title, recommending do pass, McGuire, Cott, Coring, no recommendation, Jewell, Morgan, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Cott Chair. HB 464 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 30, Resources, Alaska Salmon Day, recommending do pass Curtula, Chenault, Stevens, Spate, McGuire, Green, Masick, and Scalzi. The report was signed by Masick and Scalzi co-chairs. CS SCR 30, Resources, has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill number 115, Extend Board of Storage Tank Assistance, recommending do pass Harris, Croft, Moses, Lancaster, Foster, Mulder, and Williams. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams co-chairs. SB 115 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill number 153, Finance, Underground Storage Tank Loan Fund, recommending do pass Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Croft, Davies, Moses, Lancaster, Foster, Mulder, and Williams. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams co-chairs. CSSB 153 Finance has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill number 183, Attorney Fees, Apportionment, Public Interest Litigant, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass James and Roepberg, no recommendation Meyer, Coghill, and Kukesh. Report was signed by Roepberg Chair. SB 183 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 243, Finance, Chiropractors, Sunset, and Licensing, recommending do pass Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Croft, Davies, Moses, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, Mulder, and Williams. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams co-chairs. CSSB 243 Finance has no further referral. Those are all the standing committee reports for today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have reports of special committees?
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the qualifications of the following appointees to the Board of Fisheries. Brett Huber, recommending confirm, Curtula, Coghill, Stevens, do not confirm, Scalzi, no recommendation, Dyson, and Wilson. Report was signed by Stevens and Wilson co-chairs. And Jerry Merrigan, recommending confirm, Dyson, Scalzi, Curtula, Stevens, and Wilson, no recommendation, Coghill. Report was signed by Stevens and Wilson co-chairs. And Art Nelson, recommending confirm, Scalzi, Curtula, Stevens, and Wilson. No recommendation, Dyson and Coghill. And the report was signed by Stevens and Wilson co-chairs. We received on May 1st the conference committee considering CSHB 203, Finance Amended, Budget Reserve Fund Supermajority Failed, Effective Date Failed, and Committee Substitute for House Bill 404 Finance, and SCS for CSHB 403, Finance Amended Senate, Budget Reserve Fund Supermajority Failed Senate, and SCS CSHB 404 Finance. and respectfully request limited powers of free conference on the following specific points: allocations with items subject to conference, language, and mental health capital. The report was signed by Representatives Mulder, Williams, Davies, and Senators Donley, Kelly, and Hoffman. Donley and Mulder are chairs.
In accordance with the Uniform Rule 42A, I hereby grant limited power of free conference on only the specific points in the letter of request.
Those are all the special committee reports for today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have introductions of resolutions or citations?
A citation honoring Connie Bensler by Representative Bundy, honoring Thomas L. Moses, Jr., P.E., Whittier Access Project by Representative Dyson, honoring the Angoon Eagles, Angoon Boys and Girls Mixed Six Volleyball Team by Representative Kukesh, honoring the Hoona Braves, Hoona Girls Volleyball Team by Representative Kukesh, honoring the Craig Panthers, Craig Boys Basketball Team by Representative Kukesh, honoring Heidelberg Boys Basketball Team, the Warriors, by Representative Kukesh, honoring Kalawak Boys Wrestling Team by Representative Kukesh, honoring Valdez High School Academic Decathlon by Representative Harris, Senator Lincoln, honoring Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities by Representative Dyson, honoring Brian J. Borkowski, Federal Employee of the Year by Senator Taylor, honoring Joe Malatesta Sr. by Senator Ward, Representative Chenault, in memoriam James N. Messick, by Representatives Coring, Ogun, Masick, and Senator Green. Those are all the citations and resolutions for introduction today, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have bills for introduction?
There are no bills for introduction today.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Without objection, I would like to change the order of the calendar and first consider HB 303. Without objection, would the clerk please read the title?
Is for House Bill number 303, Finance, an act relating to the levy and collection of a sales tax and a use tax, and to levy and collection of municipal sales and use taxes, and providing for an effective date. The bill was held in second reading.
Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House rescind its action in adopting the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 303.
Without objection, we have rescinded our action in that regard. Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Second Rules Committee substitute for HB 303 be adopted in lieu of the Finance Committee substitute.
Without objection, we have the Second Rules Committee substitute before us. Do we have amendments?
I have amendment number one by Representative Coring, beginning page one, line one, title amendment.
Representative Coring. There is objection, Representative Court.
I wasn't expecting to hear this bill so quickly here, so I'm scrambling with some notes here. But essentially what this amendment does, Mr. Speaker, is it would put forth a sunset provision in the legislation, and it would require the bill to be sunsetted in 5 years. It would expire on January 1st, 2008, according to the amendment here. And from my perspective, I think we need to maybe allow for a track record to be established. I guess would be one point here in arguing for this particular amendment here, to see if the tax is what really Alaskans really want. I mean, I'm hearing from some of my colleagues that their constituents are saying they want an income tax, that we need a tax to close the fiscal gap, et cetera. And of course, I disagree with that, and my constituents are saying otherwise. So I think this would, even though I disagree with the tax, at least it would put in place the means with which we can see this thing sunset, go away, and we can reevaluate the situation in 5 years and decide if the tax is accomplishing our objectives and if our constituents really do want the tax after 5 years. So with that, I would ask for support of amendment number one.
Representative Corr. Representative Whitaker.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to speak against amendment number one. I think it's fair to say that every legislature has the opportunity to assess the viability of any fiscal measures that are part of the fiscal program for the state of Alaska. And for that reason, I think that amendment number one is somewhat moot. Thank you.
Representative Whitaker. Any further discussion? Ready for the question. The question before the body is the adoption of amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
11 yeas, 26 nays.
So amendment number one has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number two by Representative Coring, beginning page 12, lines 23 through 24.
Representative Coring.
Thank you. I move amendment number two.
There is objection. Representative Coring.
Thank you very much. This amendment requires a vote of the public, Mr. Speaker. I really think that since we're dealing with such an issue of magnitude that is going to require a major sacrifice on the part of our constituents, of Alaskans, that the very least we should do is give them a chance to vote on this issue. The very least we should allow them to have a say in the matter, especially when it comes to them sacrificing their hard-earned money. It does require a majority vote of the public in an affirmative, and it would require a vote to occur during the next general elections. That would be November of this year. I just feel that, with so many folks coming to me saying that we do not concur with the concept of an income tax, if the will of the legislature here is to proceed with one, let's at least listen to the public and listen to what many of them are saying and allow them to have a say in this matter and put the vote before them, as we did with the permanent fund to vote 3 years ago. And I might also add that I've really heard arguments that, my constituents agree with the concept of income tax. They're saying that we want the tax to fund important programs that we've identified in our districts or in Alaska. And if that's the case, well, let's allow the public to vote on it. Let's trust them and say that, if it's something that's important to you, well, we'll put the ball in your court, and you can tell us what you want. You can tell us yes or no. Do you want an income tax or do you not? And then we can proceed accordingly as a legislative body. So with that, I would ask for support of this amendment. Thanks.
Representative Corn. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to speak against amendment number two. The public voted 2 years ago. They voted for the members of this body, and they will vote again this fall. What they voted for at that time was responsibility and action on our part that is in the best long-term interest of the state. We can often find ourselves in the quagmire of saying we shouldn't do something because the public hasn't spoken. The public has spoken. The public elected us to do what is right. I therefore speak against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Whitaker. Any further discussion? Representative Croft.
I have a brief it is.
Brief it is. Over the House, please come back to order. The call has been satisfied. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly on the amendment. We certainly have before put questions before the people, usually in non-binding resolutions. And we can ask whatever question we want on a non-binding resolution, who's your favorite football team or favorite color or whatever. But this, and I thought when I first read it that that's what this did. It asked just the question. It really has a tax become effective only on a vote of the people. And there are serious constitutional questions about that. We're set up as a representative democracy, and there's limited places where the initiative can go. There's certain provisions that require for a constitutional amendment or a geo bond that there be public votes. And after just briefly there talking to Tam Cook, the main provision that I think this could run afoul of, and it's admittedly not a settled area, but there's the distinct possibility that Amendment Number 2 is unconstitutional. If I could just read one sentence from the Constitution.
No objection.
The power of taxation shall never be surrendered. That's under Article 9, Section 1. And so it may be improper, not settled in this state, but it may be improper to put this up and have it effective or repealed based on a public vote. You can ask the non-binding question, but I don't believe, or at least believe there's a serious constitutional question, whether we can do what's concluded in Amendment Number 2.
Representative Croft. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would just like to comment that I think the representative from Wasilla's amendment has merit. I think it is similar to the vote that we asked to make, that we asked the voters to make in 1999 on the permanent dividend. It shouldn't make any difference whether we're going to take their permanent dividend or we're going to take money from via an income tax. And coming from the local level and having spent 8 years there on the Anchorage Assembly, every time we pass a new tax, it has to go to the vote of the people, and it has to pass by a supermajority, a 60% supermajority. So knowing that how important a tax and is to the people of Anchorage anyway, I think that I would like to get the opinion of the voters on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I rise to speak against the amendment. I agree with my friend across the aisle here that this is substantially different than the question we asked before, because it would actually enact or not the tax. So that is quite a different question than we had on the permanent fund. And secondly, Mr. Speaker, the problem with this kind of question is it only poses half the question. If you ask anyone whether they want a tax, they're going to say, no, I don't want a tax. Nobody wants to have a tax. The balance in the question is a tax required at this time to provide the requisite level of services that we need for the state of Alaska? And that's a very difficult question to put on a ballot, because that requires an understanding of the entire budget, the entire balance of services that the state provides. And it's a job that the citizens have elected us to do. That's why we are representative of them. And it's not a job that I think, or not a question that suits itself to this kind of a referendum. It requires an enormous amount of understanding of what the balances are. And I think that's fundamentally what we are charged with doing in our jobs here. And I agree with my friend from downtown Fairbanks that there is going to be a referendum on each and every one of us every 2 years, and that's the appropriate place to test whether or not we did the right thing. So for those reasons, I speak against this amendment.
Representative Davies. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question for the body is the adoption of Amendment Number 5. For the information of the body, we had actually three previous amendments on this piece of legislation, so numerically, previous amendment that we voted on should have been 4, and it will be so recorded as 4. And this one, although number 2, will go down in the books as amendment number 5. So with that in mind, and I hope understanding, we may please proceed to vote on amendment number 5. So would the clerk please lock the roll? Would Now, would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
10 yeas, 29 nays.
And so amendment number 2 has passed, failed the House. Or has failed to pass the House. I'm sorry, number 5. You're absolutely correct. Is there a number 6?
Amendment number 6 by Representative Roquefort, beginning page 1, line 1, following income.
Representative Roquefort.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 6.
There is objection. Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, I'm offering this amendment in the spirit of those members who wish to have a whole plan and a whole package. We've had this discussion on this floor and throughout this building over the past several months, and I think it's only appropriate to give those folks an opportunity to marry the bills that we're having consideration on the floor today together. So when and if we move this forward, and I believe that there's a good chance of success today, that when they do move to the other side of the building, that they this will give them the strength that I think that a lot of members want. And therefore, in keeping with the spirit of bipartisan cooperation and that thought, I think that this is an appropriate amendment, which certainly must meet the needs of those folks that wanted a complete package. Thank you.
Representative Whitaker.
I rise to speak against Amendment Number 6. I do not rise to speak against marriage. However, the amendment before us would marry several components that may be incompatible in the future. And being against incompatibility and not wanting to appear to be trite, I think that we would do ourselves a disservice if we try to do that which is proposed by the amendment. It adds an element of uncertainty that has been pondered, and I think that previously better minds have prevailed and said this is probably not a wise course of action. I therefore speak against it. Thank you.
Representative Whitaker. Any further discussion? Representative Cott and then Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to rise in support of the amendment. I think for all the reasons that the member from District 11 has already suggested, I think all of us wanted a full package that would be voted on. And this is just one way to get to that end. And I'm not so sure what the previous speaker was talking about, some incompatibility. I believe that these three issues that are being tied to are, in fact, directly related and compatible. They're all dealing with raising revenues and closing the fiscal gap. So I think there's compatibility and not incompatibility there. So, Mr. Speaker, I would urge the members, if we're serious about getting a fiscal plan and not just a fiscal bill, to support this particular amendment.
Representative Cott. Representative Davies, and then Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, even though we have offered amendments similar to this earlier in the process, I think now at this stage of the process where we have these three matters before us on the same calendar, I think that satisfies the concern about having them appear as a package. And so for that reason, I think it's unnecessary to adopt this amendment and speak against it.
Representative Davies. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, very quickly and to be very succinct and to the point. This amendment may be the means by which we do nothing, and therefore I speak strongly against it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Whitaker. Any further discussion? Representative Rookberg, and wrap up.
We wrap up, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much. Well, I agree with the member from Eagle River and his rejoinder to the member from downtown Fairbanks that I find nothing incompatible about this. And, you know, it just reminds me, Mr. Speaker, of a situation we found ourselves in a debate last year on a bill that I had brought forward to this body. And it was the strangest thing, Mr. Speaker, when we found that bill, which had co-sponsors to it, having those same people.
The point being that you're talking about a matter not for this body at this time, and so please retain your comments.
My apologies to the presiding officer and the members, Mr. Speaker. I'll rephrase my statement. It seems to me, in my recollection, Mr. Speaker, we had a somewhat similar circumstance on this floor previously.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, he can't come through the back door. What you just told him was barred from the front door.
Recognizing that we have adopted a degree of latitude in all of our presentations. I'll offer a degree. Representative Rookwood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to be as narrow as possible here to make my point. Or should I say as slim as possible? Mr. Speaker, many people in this body have desired to have a package. People have objected to other portions of the package before because they weren't part of the package. And that's why I find that a little incongruous. Now, that's incompatible. It's incongruous in their thinking and their actions and deeds before. So that's why I offer this amendment, because they are put together in a package and they are here for our consideration, and I think they're important that they be given consideration in the whole, not in the particular.
Representative Rockford. Briefings. Continuing discussion on Amendment Number 6, Representative Croft.
Thank you very briefly, and I apologize for coming after the wrap-up of the member who sponsored the amendment. You know, all these bills are considered on the same day. We're going to be passing them over on the same day. I consider them a package. I think whether you bundle them technically or not, in what the other body can unbundle or bundle, should they choose, really doesn't make much difference. In the prior discussion, there was objections to referring to any other bill, and I think those objections were proper and properly upheld by you. I'd just like to say that in those other instances, we didn't do it on the same day. And here we're doing a whole package that, whether technically bundled, is clearly a package for us. And I don't think we need to do this. It may be considered by some people an excuse for inaction, so we might as well do these unbundled same day, and this is our package.
Representative Croft. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm hoping, Mr. Speaker. It seems to me that the opportunity for us to determine whether these are bundled or unbundled will happen when these items, if these items, do return from the other side.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is the adoption of Amendment Number 6. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
14 yeas, 25 nays.
And so, Amendment Number 6 has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rookwood.
We have a brief it is, Mr. Speaker.
Brief it is. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I put a call on the House?
Put a call placed on the House. We'll have to take an at ease because we're about to make a motion. Until the call. Representative Hayes.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remove the call. Please.
Thank you, Representative Hayes. I would ask members, please, we're going to have some concentrated effort on three or four pieces of legislation. Please try to stay on the floor. It is important. Does the clerk have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 303 rules be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final pass.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Second committee substitute for House Bill Number 303 rules by the House Rules Committee, an act relating to taxation of individual income and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Clearly and concisely, the first time, House Bill 303 meets a need
that must be dealt with. I urge the member's support.
Representative Whitaker. Representative Davies.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 303 right now is a compromise. It's conceptually a hybrid tax that combines the best features of a sales tax with those of an income tax. This is a tax that everyone pays, that at each income bracket, everyone pays the same amount. It does not impact the municipal sales tax domain. 10% of this tax is paid by people who work inside of the state and live outside. About 15% of the tax is paid in effect by the fact that it's deductible against federal taxable income. And so, Mr. Speaker, I think it combines those best features of both the sales tax and the income tax. It has been characterized as being very regressive, and it is at the high ends, but it's exactly as regressive as a sales tax would have been had we enacted one. And it is a little bit progressive at the low end, but still requires that everyone pay. So this is clearly a compromise. It's probably not the thing that any one of us would have done, but I think it's the thing that we can all do together. It also has triggers in it so that as the if we're fortunate and our economy improves and for whatever reason more revenue flows into the Treasury of the state of Alaska and the constitutional budget reserve rises, the amount in that, if it rises past $2 billion, this tax triggers down to a total take of $175 million. And then if the CBR continues to rise to $3 billion, then the total take of this tax is further triggered down to $100 million. It becomes a pretty low tax at that rate. Mr. Speaker, I think altogether this approach plus the other measures that we're considering are clearly a milestone. Certainly an important point in the history of this House, but I think we also have to recognize that this is only one step on a long journey, and so that while I'm pleased that we're here at this point, we have to recognize that we have a long ways to go yet. The thing that we have to keep focusing on, for those of us who don't like any one aspect of all these things, is that taken together, they will help us solve the fiscal problems that we're facing. And that if we, and the opposite of that is that if we do nothing, then the dividend, I think, eventually will be lost. And we will be forced into much more draconian cuts in terms of services for people in the state of Alaska, to things like education, to things like the safety net. So for all those reasons, Mr. Speaker, I think that we need to take this step. We need to go forward in the future and be able to provide those kinds of essential services, and this will be one small piece of the solution to that problem. So thank you very much.
Representative Davies, any further discussion? Representative Green and then Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have mentioned a few days ago that what I'm going to say here has nothing to do with the reelection because I'm not going to be a candidate. But I have grave concerns about this, Mr. Speaker, even though I do plan to vote for it. The reason I'm going to vote for it, Mr. Speaker, is not because of the benefits or the virtues of taxation, but the fact that I believe that it is time that we look at the permanent fund earnings as the only real way to get this state out of its dilemma of shortfall between spending and revenues. We talk about taxes, whether it's a sales tax, Mr. Speaker, or whether it's an income tax or an alcohol tax or a tax, and none of those, Mr. Speaker, are going to add up in a reasonable mode, are going to add up to enough to fill the difference between what the needs are of this state and what the basic income of this state is. So there's always going to be the shortfall that we're going to, in this case, have to go to the Constitutional Budget Reserve to fill it up. Mr. Speaker, we all know that that is a finite amount of money, and that depending on how fast we take it, it's somewhere between maybe 2 years, maybe 5-6 years, but that savings account will run out. And as the prior speaker said, this may be a step in the right direction. I pray to God that it's not a step on a slippery slope. And the reason I'm saying that, Mr. Speaker, is that I think once we open Pandora's box of taxation, I think we talk about
the vexations that will follow, and those will probably be both a sales tax and an income tax and an alcohol tax and on and on, and those taxes will have to grow, and still they will fall short. I think it's time for this state to realize that the permanent fund earnings were designed, the whole concept, a wonderful concept, that to take the more than we need during those times and put it in a savings account and then spend those earnings from that account. And unfortunately, too many people in the state, I think, Mr. Speaker, have determined that that's an entitlement rather than a donation from the government. And I think that's a bad situation. I think we should be utilizing that first. And if that's not enough, then go to taxing. But we obviously don't have the population base to live on taxes for the needs that we have for a huge state like this. I think it's wrong timed to bring in taxes at this time. I think it may be part of a total plan, but that total plan I don't think needs to be introduced at this time. I think 5-6 years from now, perhaps that's necessary, maybe even longer. But there is enough money in the earnings of the permanent fund to take us well into the future, Mr. Speaker, and I think that's the way we should go. And in order to get that into the public's arena and into their thought processes, if it's necessary then to vote for a tax at this time, I'll do it. Albeit I don't think it's right, and I'll give it that.
Representative Green. Representative Mulder.
Speaker, probably surprises you that I'm rising in opposition to this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The proposal before us, while it's been dubbed many different things, at its base level, it is an income tax. Pure and simple, it's an income tax. And Mr. Speaker, my greatest source of heartburn mirrors exactly that of the prior speaker. And that is that we are giving out a permanent fund dividend each and every year. And now we're going to talk about creating another bureaucracy to collect an income tax. To me, Mr. Speaker, that just doesn't make much sense. It really doesn't. And I have to give credit, Mr. Speaker, to the gentleman who worked on this, my friend from Fairbanks, as you know, as most of you know. We've become pretty good friends. We were elected together. We've worked for 8 years together on the Finance Committee. He listened very closely to the comments, to the concerns. As you know, I supported a sales tax over an income tax. He listened to those concerns, and he's developed a proposal here which has many of the same effects of a sales tax. But yet it's still an income tax, Mr. Speaker. And sure as I'm standing here today, and as sure as a maple leaf changes from the spring to the fall in its color, the income tax that you see on the floor today and the income tax that will be on the books in 20 years from now will be very different. This is not a very progressive income tax. It's a very mild one. In fact, as the author said, it's probably a regressive income tax. But Mr. Speaker, I can see what's at play here, and I think we all can. It's much easier once you have a tax on the books and you have a time of financial shortage or difficulty, it's much easier to adjust up or to change that existing tax than it is to add another one. So in time, Mr. Speaker, this income tax, in my opinion, is going to become more and more onerous as the state of Alaska comes short of money again. Mr. Speaker, there's another reason I rise in opposition to this. I know it has been said that, well, with an income tax, you're going to be able to assess the income of non-resident workers working in Alaska. As was said before by the member from Sand Lake, you know, the average income of most folks, non-residents, workers, is about $13,000. Mr. Speaker, with a sales tax, the alternative, and I appreciate a little latitude, with a sales tax, we could have gotten to 1 million tourists plus who hit our state every year. 1 million plus. And I, in my heart, I really believe we could have derived more revenue appropriately from an industry that is growing. 1 million tourists, and it's growing each year. We could derive more revenue in the long term from the tourists than we ever will from non-resident workers. Make no mistake, Mr. Speaker. I mean, it's been thrown out, in my opinion, a little bit of a red herring that we're going to be able to finally get those non-resident workers. That percentage is very small, Mr. Speaker. 85, 87% of this tax is going to be paid by your and my constituents.
Mr. Speaker, in my opinion, the state of Alaska is not poor. We're not a poor state. I mean, and if you have any question about that, talk to your colleagues from around the country who would love to be in our position. Having $20+ billion in the bank, paying out $1,000+ each year to their constituents. We're not a poor state. We have misplaced priorities. How can we justify sending out over $1,000 a year on one hand and then saying, oh, we really didn't mean it on the other and pulling it back in and paying for government twice, I might add. You know, as I've always said, I'm just a simple farm boy, and creating two bureaucracies when one will more than suffice, or perhaps none would suffice, makes a lot more sense to me. Mr. Speaker, I voted against the amendment for the advisory vote, and I did that consciously. I think we've asked the public, you know, before, in my opinion, questions that were inappropriate. Who is going to stand up and say, pick me, I'll pay more? Not many people will. We made that mistake in 99, Mr. Speaker. What we did now, I'll stand behind what we did in 99. It was the right thing to do then, and it's the right thing to do today. If we want to seriously address the budget shortfall, we should begin with a permanent fund, not an income tax. With that, Mr. Speaker, I would encourage members to no vote on this bill.
Ready, Mulder. Representative Scalzi, and then Helker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hadn't planned to speak, but I do want to associate myself with the two previous speakers on their personal view as to what should be the first thing that we take. However, I think the state of Alaska, in their opinion, is divided as much as we are in this room as to what we would take first. I think that this bill that we have before us is a compromise. It's a compromise from all the individual speakers we've heard from around the state, Alaska Municipal League. It's very difficult for me to stand up here and say that the first thing that we should do is have a sales tax from a municipality that has 5.5 cents right now. I know, and that's certainly the case with a lot of the municipalities around the state. Very difficult to say, as the prior speaker said, let's take an income tax first, take it out of one hand and take it with the other. And of course, we all remember the September vote about the permanent fund earnings and how resoundingly the legislature was told not to take that. But what we're looking for today here is a compromise. And the only thing that's bad about this bill that our friend from Fairbanks brought forth that I could see was that I didn't think of it first. Because I think that that's what we're all trying to do here, is come up with a compromise, something reasonable that we can all sign on to. So I applaud the efforts for thinking outside the box. I think that this is the closest we've come in the year that we've struggled over these issues. So I certainly encourage members to vote yes, and I thank leadership and the members who have been working so hard to get the package together today, to bring it to the floor. I urge members to support. Thank you.
Mr. Galsey, Representative Halcro.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this bill. And you know me, Mr. Speaker, I've been here 4 years. You know I'm not afraid to stand on the floor and mention things that others are afraid to mention, but we all think about. And last night when I got home and this morning when I was getting ready for work, you know, I kept thinking about how I'm going to vote on this bill. And, you know, we had the discussion about 3 weeks ago, sales tax versus income tax, and I stood on this floor and argued very strongly for a sales tax. But I think this is better. This has all the benefits of the sales tax, including an additional benefit of being able to deduct it off my federal income tax, as my constituents can. And you know, when I started to think about it, I just started to think about those difficult discussions we had 3 years ago, when a number of us stood on this floor and grappled with the long-range fiscal plan of 1999. And this House took a very bold step, and I think the vote was like 34-6. I mean, it was close to unanimous to pass a plan over to the other body. During regular session, I might add.
And we all were very nervous, but we all at that time realized that with oil at $9 a barrel, $9 a barrel and $1 billion budget deficit, we had to do something. And we took a pretty bold step and passed a plan that I think all of us would agree wasn't the most perfect plan, but we passed it because we realized the importance. And after we passed it in the ensuing negotiations and we came up with a compromise, which included a vote of the public, there were a number of us who went out and campaigned for this plan. And we set up little speaker bureaus. Mr. Speaker, you were one of the most prominent ones. We advocated for this plan. I was on the radio with several of my colleagues here for and against the plan. I wrote newspaper articles. Several of us appeared jointly, Republicans and Democrats, to hold hands and say, look, man, this is what we got. You know, this is what we got to offer you. And the people of this state in September of 1999 voted and said no, 83% of them. And we all know that they said no for various number of reasons. Some felt that we shouldn't be touching permanent fund earnings. Others felt that it needed to be a more comprehensive approach. Some voted no because they were insulted that we even asked. We're their elected officials. We're the leaders that they vote for to represent them down here. So it failed. And at that point in time, when I was campaigning for this plan, I talked to a number of constituents who, for the most part, laid it out pretty clear and pretty simple. I don't like this plan. I don't like you advocating for this plan. And when it comes time for re-election, I'm not going to vote for you. And my response was always the same, Mr. Speaker. My response was always, I respect your opinion. But I guarantee you, no matter who sits in my seat in 4 years, you're going to wish you voted yes. Because the options are going to be fewer, and you're going to have to give more. 83% said no. And now we're back 3 years later with a plan that's more painful because they failed to listen to their elected officials. We sit in this building 7 days a week, some of us. Study numbers, study budgets, sit in committees. I mean, that's what we get paid for. We're here to make decisions. We don't make decisions based on something we heard from a third party. I mean, we look at figures and numbers. I mean, and when you look at the figures and numbers of this state and what we've done the last 10 years, there isn't anybody of rational thought that wouldn't look at these facts and say something needs to be done. In the last 10 years, we have had $7 billion in the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The balance today is $2.3 billion. In 2 years, we will be out of money in our savings account. And not in 2 years, possibly three. And then what are we going to do? Then where do we go? Then what options do we have? Then you have the earnings reserve, and that's it. And once you get in there, there's no looking back. And dividends are gone. So not only have people lost their permanent fund dividend check, but they're going to be looking at a heck of a burden to support the costs and services of government. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take a minute to read an email I received this morning, with your permission. Andrew, if you vote for this bilking of my pocketbook today with this idiotic income tax plan, it will be the last time my wife and I and my two kids vote for you. You will have lost four guaranteed in one swoop of the gavel with your voting for this tax. As my representative, I have one message for you. Cut, 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 11 times. To the 11th degree. Now that's some serious cutting.
What'd you say?
I hope you get this message. We don't elect Republicans to vote for Democratic tax schemes. We vote for you to carry or for to cut this behemoth state government and get it in line with current revenues. I am part of the 83% that voted against politicians raiding my PFD. And I read this email this morning, and of course, you know, I come into work, I was all juiced up, and yeah, I'm going to do this. And then I get this email, and it's like, oh. But you know, the more I look at this email, the more angry I get. And the more I want to respond back and say, okay, where would you like me to cut, sir? Looking at your address from this email, I quickly note that all of the roads maintained around you are maintained not by the municipality of Anchorage, but the men and women of the Department of Transportation. 3 weeks ago, when the city of Anchorage had 28.6 inches of snow, it was the men and women of DOT that plat out my constituents, not the municipality of Anchorage. And they don't pay a dime for that. And I don't pay a dime for that. And I say, you want me to cut that? You want me to cut your road maintenance? No, can't do that. Okay, what else can we cut? Less than a mile from this gentleman's front door, we are building the first new high school in Anchorage in almost 30 years. Diamond High School is being rebuilt at a cost of $60 million. The state is paying for 70% of that. You want me to cut that? You want me to cut that $42 million? Do you, as a local property owner and taxpayer, want to pay for 100% of the cost of the rebuild of Diamond High School? Is that what you want me to cut? Is that what you want to pay? You're going to have to pay more in local property taxes. Going to have to find some way to fund these services. I'm one of the 83% that voted against politicians raiding my PFD. My PFD. Whose schools are they? Whose courts are they? Whose prisons are they? Whose roads are they, for God's sakes? For the last 20 years, we've collected not one dime for state government while sending out an average of over $20,000 to Alaska. I was a freshman in college the first year PFDs came out. I got one. It was sweet. It was $1,000. You know, a freshman with $1,000 in his pocket. Let me tell you, Salem, Oregon was never the same. You know, I mean, you know, my daughters benefit from this. We all benefit from the money the state spends out, but we can't do it anymore. You know, My company can't buy cars today for the same price we paid 10 years ago. You can't do it. So when my constituents think that I can plow their roads or pay for their teachers or build schools for the same price I could in 1980 pre-oil, it's irrational. It doesn't make sense. I don't like an income tax. I hate an income tax. But this isn't an income tax. This is as close to a sales tax without the fuss and with all the benefits of being able to deduct it off your federal income tax. Yes, I know if you itemize. But the fact is, most of the families in my district will receive more in permanent fund dividends at the end of the year than they will pay in state taxes. Still. And I'm telling you what, if we don't do this, and if we worry about reelection, do you think it's going to get any easier in 2 years? In 4 years? I mean, look at the lack of direction we've had the last 10 years. You know, we've embraced this whole culture of politician that wants to stand up and go, no, 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 vote for me, because I promise no new taxes and I won't touch a permanent fund dividend program, your dividend. And you know, the first time you crack open the budget books, you go, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get there from here? We all did it. I'm no different. My campaign literature my first year, oh yeah, we're going to cut government. Woo! Going to be some cutting going on. Then I got down here my first week, I remember my first budget subcommittee, and I spent nights, went into House Finance and got those huge budget books and sat down and went, what? I mean, Mr. Speaker, what do you want me to tell you? In May of 1999, the Cato Institute, which is a libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C., did a study called the State Spending Spree of the 90s, and it chronicled all the states in the country and how, through this rapid growth in the 90s and this huge prosperity, state spending went through the roof, 58% in Oregon, 52% in Texas. And during that same time, when other states were sometimes almost doubling their state spending, the state of Alaska led the nation in a real percentage decline in state spending. Between 1990 and 1997, average state government expenditures increased 56%. After adjusting for inflation, that represents a 27.2% increase. The state of Alaska had a 0.6 decline in real spending. We had the largest decline in state per capita spending, almost 10%. So to my constituent who wants to tell me to cut, I'm saying we have. Myself and my colleagues that got elected in 1998, you know, we got married to the 5-year plan without even a date. You know? I mean, we showed up. We were all ready. We were looking for money for our local schools, and we were told, no, wait a minute. You didn't get the memo? We're in the third year of a five-year plan. You know, I mean, there isn't anybody around here that can't look at this and say, you know what, we have. I mean, and they've been painful. But it's good. This is a good exercise. We've really embraced fiscal responsibility. We have a lot to be proud of. But, you know, it is time for the people of this state to realize that we can no longer give them something for nothing. I mean, how realistic is that? When was the last time you walked into a store and walked out with a couple of sweaters without paying for it, and then had somebody stop you at the front door and go, here you go, here's $1,800, see you later. I mean, you know, think about this. And this is what kills me, is you know, my constituents, you know, God, I love them all, but, you know, when they tell me, you know, I run government like a business, and I say, well, hey, okay, how about if I stop sending out $1 billion to my shareholder when my company's losing $800 million a year? You know, they just kind of go, huh? I mean, I think one of the biggest questions of all time is why, quote-unquote, conservative Republicans are some of the most vocal advocates supporting a government giveaway program. I mean, we're giving away cash. I don't like this bill. I like a sales tax. This is close. It gets this over to the other body. Hopefully creates some action. I'm tired of not having a vision. I'm tired of for 4 years coming down here and talking about what we can't do. And the first key to getting over that is to have fiscal stability in this state. If the concern that in 20 years this income tax won't look like it today, in 20 years that's their problem. You know? I mean, and the people will still embrace a system where they can go every 2 years and they can say, I don't like what you did, go home. And if my constituents do that to me this November, I guarantee you, Mr. Speaker, as I said 3 years ago, whoever's sitting in this seat after I leave, their choices don't get any better. Thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when I first came back, this marriage to the five-year reduction plan was in effect. I took a two-year hiatus and I got out of this business, and then I came back in, and there we were in the cutting. Mr. Speaker, the problem we have is that we've already cut $270 million out of the spending needs of this state over that five-year plan. And then, in order to try to satisfy some of our conservative instincts and interests in some of our constituents, we went after this year's budget with a vendetta. And this body collectively submitted a budget that was a status quo to what we actually authorized for expending last year in the general fund, general purpose fund level. That turns out, because of inflation and the numbers of additional people that turn into seniors that need additional help, and the more students that come into the system, and more prisoners that we put in the prison and things of this nature, meant that we had to literally make reductions or cuts of approximately $100 million this year. This budget is probably the most responsible, as far as conservatism is concerned, budget that I've ever seen in 1 year. It's awesome. I remember clearly the consequences in one of the sub-accounts that I had responsibility with in reducing about $1 million in the parks. And the consequence of that is that many of the parks are going to have to be closed down. That's a tough situation, but we've taken that tough account. Why do we need this legislation? Because we've talked about trying to fill the fiscal gap now for many number of years. We've had everybody from at least two former governors, including three now, including the sitting governor. We've had people from business and chambers of commerce and all over the state of Alaska tell us that we have to get our fiscal house in order. We've had people who want to come up here and invest their own money into the state of Alaska tell us that you better get your fiscal house in order so we are not the next victim on the block. The oil industry, for example, are deeply concerned about the fact that we've got this tremendous imbalance between our spending and our revenues, and the revenues that we're spending are, for most part, coming from the oil industry, from the patch. And And so they're concerned about us getting it fixed. So how do we fix it? Well, we've had Governor Hammond write at least three times in the Anchorage papers that I do not believe that the first place you should go is to the earnings of the permanent fund. Certainly, it is better to reimpose a statewide income tax or sales tax before you do that. So here is the statewide personal income tax that I think, at any rate, has been nicely crafted to try to equalize the contribution from all different income levels there. And why do we need to do this at all? Simply looking at the gap, the fiscal gap, the figures from 03 of $798 million by 10, fiscal year 10, is $1.6 billion. That's the problem that we have. It's not a question of whether we love taxes or hate taxes. We don't like them. But we have this tremendous imbalance between our spending and our revenues, and our spendings, even through inflation, are going to be slightly rising. And our revenues, because of depletion of the oil coming up from the North Slope and the value changes that we all know are there, are going down. So this is a good first start. There's more to come, but we are going to try to responsibly fill this fiscal gap of recurring revenues. I urge everybody to vote for this bill. It's a good bill. It's moderate.
Representative Hudson. Representative Bundy, and then Krakow.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been listening to the debate, and I, too, got some emails this morning, and I assure you that not all of them are in this vein, but I, with your permission, would very briefly read from two that I've received.
Without objection.
Mr. Chairman, one thoughtful constituent in part says, let's face it, we've been on a gravy train for a long time, and it's difficult to disembark. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed the ride, too. But I'm not looking forward to the train wreck that will likely happen if we're not proactive now. And another constituent who said, as your constituent, I support a total package solution to resolving our budget deficit. If things are not, and I'm taking only part of what they said, if things are not completely resolved, if federal government lowers its contribution, if oil remains low, we can expect the perfect storm and the crash of our economy. Thank you.
Representative Bundy. Representative Cargill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as a good segue into the fact that we're looking at a whole economy here, Alaska depends heavily on federal dollars, depends heavily on oil money, and we have created a government that has grown used to those in a variety of different ways, and certainly our safety net is has been well taken care of and built well, and one of the problems we struggle with, as the member from District 12 said, is you look at the formula things that we've installed in statute and you go, how can we change this? So there's an upward pressure that is continual. However, this is the time that I think we could talk about what shouldn't we do anymore. And it's not just in the safety net area. There are a variety of different things that I would like to see the pressure built up to answer. For example, some of the nonprofits that are in the under the state umbrella of ownership, and really some of the nonprofits that are taking over the economy. Certainly, if the federal dollars didn't come in at the degree they're coming in right now, this income tax that we're passing out right now will make small difference in the state economy. So just remember that we could pass this along thinking that it's going to solve the problem and have other significant issues in the overall economy. The other thing is, I understand, and by the way, I have to say I appreciate the work. I've been part of the discussion. I stand on the side that drags my feet along the side of putting a tax, installing it, and but I've tried to stay engaged in the discussion enough to understand the need. And as I see it, the need for a healthy government is more important than a need for a healthy private economy, because we're going to go to the private economy. Now, I understand that there are services that we do, And I understand even the debate on why we need those services. In fact, some of the things that were given as examples today certainly are worthwhile. But if you look at them in the overall package, they're the smaller parts of the budget that we have to deal with. The two biggest parts, or the three biggest parts really, are the permanent fund dividend program, the education, and then our social services area. Those obviously are the big three, and we're going to be dealing with one of them shortly, I do believe. What we're going to do today, if we pass this out, is we're going to say the government is going to forcibly take away a portion of your income, and this government needs it. And I'm one of those that says there are places where I think that we should reorganize. Now, the word cut that we keep getting in our email, I would probably agree with some of that. But then I think that there's a place where you can cut to the bleeding part where you become ineffective. We've asked some of our departments to cut to the place where they're absolutely ineffective. And really, we should say, we can't do this anymore, or keep them whole. And I've seen that pain in some of the subcommittees we deal with. And it really is a tough discussion. But it's also going to be a tough discussion now that we're going to ask certain families who may be living in a marginal way that we're going to take some of their money from them so that we can redistribute it. And then I just have to respond to the 80% vote. It's been alluded to that it was a mistake, and probably there were a lot of mistakes involved in that. I ended up debating that in one particular area up in my hometown. But the fact is, the people said something. They said no. Certainly a variety of different reasons. But I would hate to see that characterized as a mistake when people vote. Certainly, we depend upon their voting in many ways. And I would hate for us to think that just because we know the numbers up here, that we know the best policy. Certainly, we know the numbers. But to go back home and say, listen, guys, we know the real story. You're ignorant. Trust us. That's not a good way to do it. And so I would just caution us in going down that road. In Alaska, our mining industry, our forest industry, some of the waterways have been losing ground. Certainly, they're federal issues. There's no doubt about it. I wish that we had been fighting that front. But it looks like what we're going to do is, instead of fighting that front to a greater degree, we're going to turn around and take away from the very people that live here. And I hope we don't do some unintended damage. I truly appreciate the compromise that comes forward in this bill. I know that a lot of people hammered it out, and it's a compromise, and there is some good variables in it, and for that I'm grateful. My concern is that we're going headlong into this without a further discussion. I guess the budget that we're working on and that we've passed out and is now in the conference committee is a tough budget. It's a as far as we can go flat funded budget, I think. I guess my concern is, and I'm asking a question. I'm not making accusations. I'm just asking, have we sprung load this thing to the degree that it's going to pop up and take all of this tax money to fill, and then we still have another problem? And I think that's a legitimate discussion. And I've landed on the side is, I think with sprung load. And I'm open to the discussion on whether it is or isn't. But I would hate to pass this along without us having the benefit of knowing that. And certainly within the budget structure that we have here, there is enough latitude in there. You could call some of it shell games. There is also some true, hard, tough decisions that we've made. But spring-loaded it is, I do believe. And so I'll be voting against this bill. I hope that colleagues here would vote against it. I just don't think we've found the answer yet.
Representative Goring, and then Wilson.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I recognized Representative Williams before that, and I should have. So if you would yield to Representative Williams, then I'll get to you. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I certainly wasn't going to get up and talk. I'm going to talk like this gentleman from District 12. I wasn't going to get up and talk, and I'm not going to talk very long. I stand in opposition of this bill. I want to make that perfectly clear first. I was listening to the gentleman from District 12, and by golly, he's right on all of the issues. And everything that he said up until he said that he's ready to tax us. Because that permanent fund, and Mr. Speaker, I'm glad that you are giving us this latitude to take up this plan, because it does affect the whole state of Alaska and affects everything that we do here in this building. So I'm glad that we're able to talk about the permanent fund, taxes, or what happened in 99. You know, when we first came here, first started this discussion, the fiscal caucus worked very hard, and I want to thank them for doing this, keeping this up in front of us at all times. There were times when our caucus, majority caucus, got very hot because of the issues that talking about this fiscal plan, because we just got through with a vote in 99. And we had a gentleman from Palmer getting up and saying, what part of no don't you understand? Well, we're here today because the fiscal caucus has worked very hard to get it before the people of the state and putting pressure on us. I want to thank them for doing that. I walk down to the airports now when I go home, whether it's in Juneau, Ketchikan, or the streets in Juneau or Ketchikan, and they say, no income tax bill, don't stop and debate, no sales tax, no permanent fund, don't touch a permanent fund, or vice versa. So everybody is aware of what's happening. And the problem is there. This year, you know, it's been said how many times we're going to be out of money here within 2 or 3 years. Well, we are. I think that it's wrong for us to go out and give money away and then ask for money back. I think we can manage our monies to where we wouldn't have to come out with a tax for a few more years. When we started this plan, we said we didn't know what type of plan we were going to come out with, but we knew we had to come up with a plan of some sort. When will we come up with a plan to tax oil? It was said, let's tax it next year after we, the people of the state of Alaska, have got up and stood up to the plate and said, this is what we're going to do. And I believe we can go to the oil companies next year if we do a plan and ask, or not ask, but do what we're doing today. Or we can look at other taxes. The taxes, there's so much money, like everybody here that has been saying, in a permanent fund. If we manage the permanent fund correctly, the permanent fund will take care of us. We will still have a dividend program. It will be going on for years. We've seen spreadsheets out there showing us how long the permanent fund, if we do it certain ways. And we're going to be coming up to that on 304, and I'll wait to discuss that, Mr. Speaker. It's been said that their options are going away. Well, they are. In 1999, we didn't talk about a tax. We talked about just using the permanent fund earnings. Today, we're not quite there yet. We don't need to talk about taxes as of yet. It's not, in my opinion. I think we can manage the permanent fund to where it will be paying for the services, the lifestyle that we all in the state of Alaska have been grown accustomed to. I think what we're doing today is good, Mr. Speaker, and I want to thank you for
twisting my arm several times, and not really, but came close. I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for bringing us forward, because we do need to talk about the fiscal plan. The problem is not going to go away. It didn't go away in 99. It didn't go, and it ain't going to go away today. It's only going to get worse. But I do talk against this tax. Thank you.